Let's talk about it. Let's go deep. We all have something to share. No share with Dr. Dave.
Well, hello, and welcome to the Null Share with Dr. Dave podcast. I am Dave A. Cornelius, affectionately called Dr. Dave, and I am your host. Today's conversation is about the social change advocates and their role in making the world better for us. So in today's world, being a social change advocate often means having the courage to stand up for what's right, make a difference in the world. It's about using the power of your voice, taking action, and bringing communities together to create a positive change. You know, our world is really complex and ever-changing, and it's important to listen to the cries for justice and equality that echo through the digital sphere and beyond. You know, so as a social change advocate, you play a critical role in anticipating and influencing change, advocating for policies and practices that uplift marginalized and underserved communities and bring people together. The work as a social change advocate goes beyond the borders and barriers, using innovative tools and technologies to amplify underrepresented voices and really to create a more inclusive future. You know, with empathy, determination, and a commitment to education and dialogue, you know, we can help shape a better world where everyone can dream big and actively participate in creating a change they want to see. Now, my special guest today is LaShelle Adkins, America's Supermom. Welcome to the Null Share with Dr. Dave podcast. LaShelle, how are you?
I am doing well. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here and can't wait to get into today's conversation.
Well, we're going to get into today's conversation with you singing a song or, you know, reciting some inspiring words, or maybe you're humming a few. So what do you have for us today?
Well, this is so funny because we were talking about this before we went live, and I definitely don't have the gift of singing. So I said, I want to make sure that people stay and listen to the interview. So I am actually going to just share a few lines from a song that really keeps me motivated and inspired, because, you know, there's a lot of tribulation in the world that I encounter based on the work that I do on a regular basis. So the song that really inspires me is No Weapon Formed Against Me by Fred Hammond. And a little bit of that is, God will do what he said he will do. He will stand by his word. He will come through. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work. God will do what he said he will do. He's not a man that he should lie. He will come through. Oh, I won't be afraid of the arrows by day from the hand of my enemy. I will stand my ground with the Lord on my side, for the snares they have set will not succeed. So, you know, when you go through challenges, sometimes, you know, we make the challenges bigger than what they really are. But when I listen to this song, I just am reminded about how great God is and how powerful he is. And the thing that I'm going through is really small. So that's my song.
You know, I love that. You know, there's nothing that, you know, is given to us that we can't handle. We're never given more, right?
Yeah.
Than we can handle. So that's so beautiful. Let's have an elevator pitch about you.
Well, thank you. So I am America's Supermom, growing into that title every day. I'm the mother of 15 children. We have 10 that still live at home, but I'm a TV producer, and I help content creators and podcasters to monetize their message and create a global impact through television.
That's really powerful. Mm-hmm. So what sparked your passion for social advocacy?
Well, you know, for myself, it was my own journey. I am an advocate about transparency and vulnerability. I suffered 13 years of depression and I was hospitalized 3 times. And the thing that really keeps me passionate about what I do is that I can't go back and change those 13 years. I can't relive them. But what I can do is share my story so that I can help others that are still suffering in silence, prevent them from suicide, and then in some cases, prevent people from even going through depression at all.
Man, that you know, that's such a powerful story and a powerful experience. And I could only imagine how that has shaped you as a person, right? And a super mom of that.
Definitely all to God's glory, okay? Because I was only child and didn't grow up with siblings. Mm. So the whole dynamic of siblings and dealing with a large family, all this is new. And seriously, every day is a new adventure because, you know, I'm experiencing life from a new lens from all of my children, from the oldest to the youngest. So, yeah, every day is an adventure.
I can only imagine. I grew up with 4 younger sisters. So, you know, I know that the siblings sharing and rivalry and all of that, how that goes.
It's crazy. I used to really cry about it a lot because I would tell my husband, they don't love each other. They're so mean and cruel. And I mean, it was just a mess for me. But he's like, that's what siblings do, you know? So over time, I got thicker skin about it.
Yeah, and you better not cross those siblings, right? You go against those siblings, you're in trouble, right?
Exactly.
So let's share a campaign or movement you've been involved with that is really impactful to your community.
Well, you know, one of the things that I am passionate about is having hard conversations. Mm-hmm. I am a co-founder of a club on Clubhouse. It's a social media app. And we really just took to during the pandemic of having a platform for people to work on some hard things that they were dealing with, whether it was losing their job or dealing with grief, you know, from their life being turned upside down with being sheltered in place, just a number of things. During that time, I was here with my children. 7 of them were in virtual learning, and my husband had a job out of state. So he would come home on the weekends, but it was just really a very challenging time. I really poured a lot into sharing with other people. I felt very fortunate because I had my children with us. We had 13 of our 15 at home, sheltered in place, and we really got back to family. Our household is always pretty busy, from soccer practices or cheerleading or football. And so we're pretty much a revolving door. Somebody has to go to work and it's just this in and out, you know, rarely able to eat dinner together as a family because there's so much that's going on. But during the pandemic, we were able to have dinner every night as a family. My daughters helped cook. They went to the store. We would have board games, so many things that involved us coming together and really getting a stronger foundation that I was able to pour and give into other people during that time. So it started off with a lot with Clubhouse. From there, during that time, I was also creating my own video series. Mm. I was doing video interviews on Facebook. And from there, went to having my own podcast. But one thing that I was mindful of being very proactive during that time was simply an acronym for the word SMILE. During that time, I said it was SMILE for wellness. But SMILE was about the 5 pillars that I felt were very important for people to be mindful of during this hard time for their mental health. Now, I'm not a doctor or anything, but this was just based off of my own experience these pillars suffered for me when I was going through depression. And so the acronym is for sleep, mood, inner voice, laughter, and energy. All of those things suffered repeatedly during my 13-year span with depression. And that was something that after I was out of that experience, I was able to really reflect and realize that, you know, they were all out of alignment. So I felt that there was a lot of talk about these kids, these adults are all going to struggle because they've been sheltered in place, socialization issues, all these things that they were talking about the problems, but they weren't talking about how we could be proactive with some solutions and things that we could be mindful of doing in order to circumvent some of those problems. So that was for me just a simple thing that we could remember is just a smile. And so that was my movement that started during the pandemic.
No, that's powerful. And especially rest, sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, all of the others are really important, but that is so foundational in allowing you to be able to function daily, to have the right mood, the right energy. So that's the one word that I latched on to immediately. Mm-hmm. Rest, sleep. Yeah, I need to get more of that.
Absolutely.
Okay. I can only imagine you with 10 of them, 10 kids at
it
home.
Was crazy. Yeah. You can imagine. But I have learned the hard way. Okay. Yeah. Got lots of gray hair and, you know, craziness to show on my journey. But, you know, I was really accustomed to not getting a lot of sleep, you know, so it's kind of like, you know, oh, this is just what happens. You know, you have a lot of kids, you just don't get sleep and just a number of things. But I was definitely mindful that they got their sleep. But I was the one that always suffered, you know. My husband worked long hours, so he didn't get a lot of sleep. So it was just like, okay, this is just how it is until, you know, my own experience that I've learned that, you know, it is a non-negotiable, you know, so many things suffer from sleep deprivation.
Yes. Yes. Like I said, it's foundational, but let's talk about how do you approach building coalition and partnerships in your work?
You know, I think the main thing is, having a heart to know that you don't have to do it all.
Yeah.
Right. You don't have to get all the credit. You know, you can be behind the scenes. I was raised with a very academically driven parents. So high performance was something that, you know, that's all I knew through my whole academic career, even to my degree in college of marketing. And so for myself, I just always followed somebody else's blueprint. What does it take to be on honor roll? What does it take to be in gifted classes? And so I was always following the rubric, you know, working to excel, always feeling like it was me that had to do the work, you know, because you're graded as an individual. So there was a lot of ego that was built up over those years about, you know, me getting credit for my work and doing all these things, getting the accolades. And it was really kind of hard to get away from that. You know, after my journey with depression, I was able to see that, you know, I don't really have to do it all. So prayer is something that is, I can't make it without, because just from being a mother and being a wife of 31 years, there's a lot of, you know, things that we encounter that I don't always have the answers for. So one day I was praying and I believe the Lord said, so you believe that Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world and he had 12 disciples. So what makes you think you could do it by yourself?
Yeah.
So that was very humbling and it helped me to realize that, you know, I don't have to have all the answers. I don't have to be the expert, you know, just being able to stay in my lane, so to speak, and making room for other people to have their gifts being highlighted as well is very important. And so that's when things really change for me.
That's amazing. You know, I mean, that's amazing. So when we think about dealing with challenges, I could just imagine, you know, being a mom of 12 kids, you know, what challenges have you faced when you're advocating for change? And then how have you really addressed those?
You know, I think the main challenge is, well, for myself, what it was being married to the outcomes. Mm. So when you desire something and you see the way that you feel that it should be resolved, you know, you get attached to that outcome and you don't leave room for creativity, for being flexible, to change your mindset. None of that changes, you know. And what I have learned is that other people need to have self-awareness. And so even though I may be aware of something, I can't make somebody else be aware. And so when you're able to hold your position and listen to other people and not feel that you have to, I don't know, persuade them to believe something, you begin to listen more actively. And you can really hear what they're saying. You know, I'm a coach right now. And so one of the things that I have found is that everybody has their own inner voice. You know, mm-hmm. I had lost mine. Okay. I didn't know who I was during this depression time. And I didn't even, you know, I was afraid to listen to my own voice because I was so busy following other people's voices. And I believe if we give space for people to hear their own voice, that if it's meant to be for the situation to be resolved in whatever manner, it will happen naturally. It's not something that we have to try to control, you know. So I think when you're able to let go of your ego and let people be who they are, you know, that's when things change.
Yeah. So what does your inner voice sound like?
I think it's just a quiet confidence, right? Mm-hmm. Being willing to keep moving, even though you don't know the outcome, because, you know, it's different. You know, confidence comes from doing things with courage, and courage is simply doing things afraid, right? And then when you get it done, then it's like, hey, I was courageous. Right? Yeah. So you have to take that journey to courage. And when you do that, you know, your voice gets stronger and stronger, right? You believe to have confidence in yourself. I think, you know, on my journey with depression, the biggest thing standing in my way was me forgiving myself. Mm-hmm. You know, I would blame my kids and husband and circumstances about my situation. But when I had the ability to forgive myself and look at myself in the mirror, that's when things change. And so I had to learn to get a better relationship with myself. I had to learn how to trust myself, have confidence in what I was thinking and feeling, and just take those baby steps to build that confidence and the trust in my own voice.
Yeah. And no, thanks for sharing that. You know, it's funny, as you were thinking, I was thinking about my own inner voice, and I was thinking of my West Indian great-grandmother and her voice, you know, speaking out in terms of directing, giving just different ideas of how to live life. It was mm-hmm. what came to mind, one of the things that came to mind, her voice, mm-hmm. as an example. What about balancing activism with self-care?
You know, it's a non-negotiable. And yeah. I would say self-love, right? Because we talk about self-care a lot, and it's, you know, the things that we do, you know, whether it's getting a massage or, you know, taking a date with yourself, right? Yeah. Where you're just going for a walk with no phone and all this. But I think it's so important to have self-love, you know, and that is really having time to sit with yourself and journal. I think journaling is very important because, you know, I think when you do that, you become an observer and you're not so attached to personally, what's the word I want to say, having negative self-talk, right? Because when you are able to get things on paper, you can observe, and some of the things that are going on in your head, you, when you put them on paper, you're like, that's crazy. You know, that doesn't even make sense, you know? And so you don't really have to keep on with that belief, right? So I think it's important that we do have those moments, you know, where we get stuff out of our head and we realize, okay, do I really want to keep this or do I want to let this go? I think that's important because, you know, when you're in the line of work where you're an advocate for things that are challenging in the world, in your community, in your neighborhood, you can really be emotionally attached to people and situations and just giving yourself that space to kind of walk away and see things from a different vantage point. I think it's so important. It helps you to reconnect not only with yourself, but with other people. And I think the biggest thing is removing judgment. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was really in my ego about things, it was hard for me to have empathy and compassion for other people. But when you're taking that time to recognize, you know, I'm just like this next person, you know, they may be upset about something, but they have a family just like I do, you know, and as you begin to reflect on that, you find things that you have in common more so than things that make you different.
You know, you said something that was very important, and, you know, it's love God, love self, love others. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you said, and so that really just like, oh, yeah, you got to remember to love me so I can love others and also love God. You know, that's really important stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. So thanks for sharing that. But when we think about giving advice to others, you know, who want to make a difference in their communities, you know, what are some of the stories that you share or some of the advice that you provide for guidance?
You know, I think the best thing to say to someone is you need to be that example, right? You know, when we tell our kids certain things, it doesn't matter what we say, they are more in tune to what we do. So the best advice you could give someone is live the life that you're trying to share with them about, you know, because we are visual learners. If I say, okay, lemon, you're not going to think L-E-M-O-N. You're not even thinking about the letters. You're thinking about, oh, I see a yellow fruit, you know, it can fit in the palm of my hand. And so because we are visual, you know, it doesn't matter about the words sometimes. It's about your behavior because, you know, we mimic behavior a lot. You know, if you look at kids, they will play dress up and play house and play doctor, all these different things because they mimic behavior. So I think it's important to live the advice that you want to give to other people.
Very profound. So what about the next big issue that you're tracking? What's next for you?
I think that, you know, there's always big issues. I think it's just what you plan to focus on. You know, for me, I think it's education.
Okay.
Right. I'm kind of a non-traditional person about this, even though, you know, went through traditional school. But I think that in the education system, we're taught at a very young age to be programmed, to be controlled, to have fear, to believe in scarcity, just a number of things.
Yeah.
And we're not even confident about our own voice. And so I am passionate about doing what I can to help mend families to where families could get back to their core beliefs and values being instilled in their kids so that their kids are courageous enough to simply know the difference between book sense and people sense.
Hmm. I was waiting for more. I was like, book sells some people. So come, bring some more.
You got to read the book. No, all I haven't even written the book yet.
I got to read that book. All right. Well,
no, but I did have a book where I talked about a little bit of this. I just had a new bestseller, Our Forgotten Children.
Okay.
But my title of my chapter is A Mom's Love Language, because I think, again, you know, the children, they don't know who to listen to. Should I be listening to my parents? Should I be listening to the teacher, the superintendent, you know, my job? It's just, you know, when I was younger, it was a village. Everybody spoke the same, even though it wasn't always your parents' voice. Your grandmother said the same thing. Your neighbor said the same thing. The person at the store said the same thing. But we don't have that anymore.
Oh, for sure. No, I remember those days quite well, you know, and growing up on a small island, you get to hear it even more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that was powerful. But, you know, Lachelle, you know, just thank you for sharing generously today. And so let me close and then I'll probably get something on the other side from you.
Okay. You know?
And so as we close, you know, another thought-provoking episode of the Now Share with Dr. Dave podcast, we kind of like got into the social change advocate, you know, uncovering the power of persistence, the impact of innovation, the spirit of community. Remembering every step we take towards a social change, no matter how small, creates ripples that extend far beyond our immediate reach. So I would say continue to be the change you wish to see. And until next time, you know, keep sharing knowledge and spreading your passion for progress. And then join us again, you know, as we explore the journeys of those who dare to make a difference. So this is Dr. Dave, and we're going to be signing off. I say stay curious, stay inspired, and above all, keep advocating for the world you believe in. Anything else that you want to just leave our clients with? You had me mesmerized here for a while. I'm like,
I love it. You know, I would say that it's important to know the company that you're with. You know, as we were talking before, you know, life always can throw us curveballs. We can always have a challenge. But the key is to keep getting back up. And that makes a difference when you're in the right environment. You know, you're able to keep going and keep getting back up. But if you're in the wrong environment, you know, you could stay down just as well as you could get back up. So I think it's important to be mindful of the company, of the energy that's around you. I think we don't talk about that enough because, you know, everybody's going to have bad days. You know, I found out after my last hospitalization that even though I felt that I was a changed person, everything around me didn't necessarily change. I lived in the same house. I drove the same car, you know, had the same family. But it was up to me to understand that I had to be the change that I wanted to see in others. And so part of that strength to be able to keep on having that mindset was the people that I was around. You know, I created a support group to continue to help encourage me to keep moving forward until things may be modified or changed in my own environment. So I think that's important to understand that nobody can go to the gym for me. So if I want to lose weight, I just can't delegate that.
Yeah.
And so it's the same thing with our mental health. It's the same thing with our attitude. You know, we have to be the ones to do that. So really being mindful of your environment and your intentionality in order to achieve that is important, because it just doesn't happen because it's a good idea. You know, it takes action and being proactive about doing that. So that will be my final thought.
Thank you. And I just want to remind everyone that the Now Share with Dr. Dave podcast is available on Spotify, Audible, Apple, Google, and many other streaming platforms. And with that, thank you again, Lachelle, you know, America's Supermom.
You are so welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thanks.
Let's talk about it. Let's go deep. We all have something to share. No share with Dr. Dave.